Well, welcome. My name is Wei Han. I'm on the staff team here, and it's my pleasure and privilege to bring you this morning's word from the letter of James, how to manage your mouth. Well, welcome. If you're new or visiting, we're in the middle of a series from James, a very practical letter from the New Testament. I guess the opposite of that is welcome also if you're old and at home. Oops. Maybe I should listen to this sermon, eh? That's just me being cheeky. Have you heard the one about the supermarket assistant who's working in the fresh food section? And this lady goes up to him and says, I'd like half a head of lettuce, please. Half a head of lettuce. And the guy thinks to himself, what kind of person wants half a head of lettuce? So he says, I'll go and ask the shop manager. And off he goes to look for the manager. Unbeknownst to him, the lady's following him 5 steps behind. He gets up to the manager, the lady's still behind him, and he says, there's some old bag out there who wants half a head of lettuce. And the manager looks over his shoulder like this. And he turns around and quick as a flash he says, and this lovely lady would like the other half. The power of words. The power of words. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says, in the tongue is the power over life and death. In the tongue is power over life and death. The consistent message, dear friends, of the Bible is that words, our tongues, our mouths, what we say, whatever comes out of our mouth, has desperate eternal significance. Well, we better ask for God's help then as we consider this topic this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray with the psalmist saying, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the kids have gone out, but we teach our kids, don't we, sometimes this nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Utter rubbish. Complete nonsense. It's a lie. Straight from the devil, dressed up as a nursery rhyme. You and I both know that sticks and stones may break my bones, but only words can completely gut me. The point of the original rhyme, of course, is that the world is filled with evil words, painful words, and we need to teach our children, if you like, to grow elephant hides so as not to be hurt by the power of words. But I think that's a painful and ultimately wrong concession to make. That's like saying, you live in a pigsty, so you should wrap yourself in cling wrap and try not to get dirty. The real solution is to clean up the pigsty. Words can completely gut us, and our words can completely gut others. So the solution, dear friends, is for us to clean up our words, learn to manage our mouths, and so improve the world and ourselves. That's the burden for our text today from James chapter 3. If you've got one of our yellow contacts, there's a handout or a sermon outline right on the back. And if you've got your Bible, it'd be great if you could turn to James chapter 3 and follow along. Well, firstly then, why must we manage our mouths? James gives us 4 reasons. The first reason is in the first 2 verses. First reason why we must manage our mouths is because our speech is a very serious matter before God. Our speech is a very serious matter before God. It's a serious matter of judgment for those who teach God's word, and it's a serious matter of perfection for the whole person. Verse 1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Well, how do we teach? Mainly by using our mouths. Those who teach God's words, mediate God's words, speak God's words to others. And with our mouths, we tell others what God is like and what it means to live for God in God's will. It's a serious responsibility. And teachers will be held to account for it. I'm standing up here, I'm very conscious of that. But you, every single one of you, your teachers as well. You might be a small group leader. We had a fantastic meeting yesterday morning. Or youth group leader, or a Sunday school teacher, or just a regular Christian person who sometimes talks to someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's like. You're a teacher purporting to inform others about something about God. And if you do that, it's a serious matter before God. You must manage your mouth. Verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways. No one is perfect. But if anyone is never at fault in what they say, they are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." We're only human. No one's perfect. My wife probably thinks I'm a bit of a stud muffin, but I suspect most of you are much more realistic. I'll never have perfect pecs, genetically impossible. But verse 2 says, if I can manage my mouth, if I can manage my mouth, I'll approach perfection. I'll be able to keep my whole body in check. I'll be perfect. It's reminiscent of what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. How is it possible? James here in verse 2 tells us how. By managing our mouths. We must manage our mouths because it's a serious matter of perfection before God. Second reason why we must manage our mouths, from verse 3 and 4, it's because my mouth directs my whole person. James gives us two illustrations. Firstly, the horse, and then the ship. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. A tiny 45-kilogram jockey with a tiny piece of wood or metal can control a one-ton beast and make it go wherever he wants. Today in Sydney, the Queen Mary and the Queen Victoria will do a historic sail pass, probably the last time those two great ships will meet. The Queen Victoria weighs 90,000 gross tons. It's the size of three soccer pitches laid end to end. I could go on and on. The stats are amazing. But all the largest ships in the world can be controlled by a comparatively small rudder. Your whole body, your whole being, your whole person, your whole personality is controlled by this tiny thing in your mouth. If you want to manage your entire self, your entire being, if you want to chart the course of your history, you must manage your mouth. Third reason why we must manage our mouths, from verse 5 to 8, it's because our mouths can destroy our entire life and others also. Verse 5, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Many of us will be aware that last weekend was the 25th anniversary of the Ash Wednesday fires here in Australia. 500,000 acres were destroyed on the first day of the fires. 1.3 million acres by the end of the week. Whole suburbs and localities wiped off the face of the earth. Mount Macedon, Emerald, Cockatoo, Aries Inlet, Anglesey, Lawn, utterly destroyed. There were 2,000 plus injuries, 75 fatalities. All started by the smallest spark. Verse 6 says, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of their life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." That is, the tongue is that small spark that can wreak complete destruction. It's, if you like, the concentration of all the destructive power of that bushfire. A whole world of evil, James says, stuck in our mouths, between our cheeks. The great theologian John Calvin said, It's a slender portion of flesh containing the whole world of iniquity. Three statements follow. This world of evil, this concentration of evil, the tongue, firstly, corrupts the whole person. Secondly, sets the whole course of our lives on fire. And three, where does this evil power come from? From hell itself. The Bible is so realistic about the destructive power of words and its source. It goes on to say, we've tamed all sorts of animals. In the first sermon of this series, I told you about those three Cuban crocs in Florida that human beings have been able to tame. Cuban crocodiles. What were their names? Ricardo, Lucy, and Chiquita. Cute names for crocodiles. You know, able to come, wait, and get back in the water. But no one can tame the tongue. Verse 8, it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Please make no mistake about this. The biblical view of the tongue here is that it is a dangerous, restless, untamable evil, which is why somehow, if we are to save ourselves, we must tame it. We must find a way of managing it. Fourth reason why we must manage our mouths, from verse 9 to 12, because our mouths display our true nature. Our mouths display our true nature. Let me read to you verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, as we've done this morning, and with it we curse others who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, Valentine's Day wasn't so long ago, the 14th of February. There's a romantic saying, isn't there, that the eye is the window into the soul. So what you're meant to do on Valentine's Day is take your lover out to a romantic candlelit dinner and sit down opposite one another and gaze into each other's eyes to look deep into each other's souls. Complete rubbish. James tells us the window into the soul is the mouth. You're supposed to look at the meat in their teeth. Look into their mouths. Look to the manner of their speech. That's the best guide to what's in their hearts and their souls. You see, a salt spring can't produce fresh water. A grapevine won't give you figs. A corrupt heart will not give you beautiful words from the Lord. Well, we've got a huge problem here, don't we? Here are four solid reasons to manage our mouths, but we've already been told that the tongue is a world of evil fed from the pit of hell. How are we going to do it? How are we ever going to manage our mouths, our tongues, such a thing? We might despair, as Paul does in 2 Corinthians 2:16. He says, who is sufficient for these things? How can we do it? The problem, as Paul knows only too well, is this huge gap between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of humanity. That's just a huge, seemingly insurmountable gap. How do we close it? Paul says, the good I want to do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing, Romans 7. What's the solution? Well, Jesus says, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you seen that billboard driving down the freeways? It's an ad for a soft drink. It says, if it can't be fixed with duct tape, it can't be fixed. That's very Australian, isn't it? If it can't be fixed with duct tape, it can't be fixed. Well, I'm sorry, for the third time, that's absolute rubbish as well. You can't fix your mouth just by putting duct tape over it. It goes deeper. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Jesus. So the secret, according to Jesus, of fixing what comes out of my mouth is to fix what's in my heart. Any physician will tell you, if you're feeling unwell, you don't just want to treat the symptoms. You've got to go to the heart of the matter. Find the source of the infection or the disease. Are you feeling tired all the time? Do you feel tired all the time? That's a complaint that's very common in our culture. Well, you can't just fix that with more caffeine and more sugar and more chocolates. Sorry. Who said that? The real solution, Dr. Virginia Sexton, is to get more sleep. Eat more healthily. Get some exercise. Use that gym membership. Get to the source. Get to the heart of the problem. The heart is the source of the problem that so many people have in their mouths. It all begins in here. We need a heart transplant. We need a new heart so that we can fix our mouths. King David knew this when he prayed in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What a great prayer. What a great prayer to pray every day. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord my God. So step one is to turn to Jesus, is to turn to God and ask Him for a new heart. If you've never done this before, then maybe today is your day. It's as simple as that, saying with King David, create in me a clean heart, dear God, and renew a right spirit within me. Put me in right relationship with you so that I can walk your ways and speak your ways. Step one, turn to Jesus. Step two, once you've asked Jesus for that new heart, as so many of us have here at St. Elf's, then you've got to use it. You've got to put it into practice. It's a bit like if you've ever had a heart transplant, which I hope none of you ever had because it's a very painful experience. But they tell me that if you've had a heart transplant, you get to rest for a very little while and then you've got to use it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. So you've got to put this new heart into practice. And the good news is that this new heart that you get from Jesus comes with its own instruction manual, the Bible. And the Bible is filled with fantastic ways how you could practice using this new heart in relation to managing your mouth. Let me give you just three quick examples from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Now that's a great instruction, isn't it? So practice holding your tongue. It doesn't mean stick it out of your mouth and get your fingers wet. It means practice silence. If you're usually quick with a retort or remark, practice counting to 10. If you're the kind of person who always has to have the last word, practice not having the last word. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Well, practice not being reckless. Practice being patient. Keep silent again. Wait. Wait until you're sure that you only have wise and healing words to offer into that conversation. Here's a third one, Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. A flattering mouth works ruin. Don't lie. Don't flatter people. Don't exaggerate. Ephesians 4:15, only speak the truth in love. These are just three verses. If you search for the words, mouth, tongue, or speak in the Bible, you'll have literally hundreds of returns, hundreds of ways to practice this new heart that you can get from Jesus. Step one, get a new heart. Step two, practice using it. Step three, ask Jesus for help every day, because if you're anything like me, you need all the help you can get. That tongue is a world of evil, let's not forget. It's the concentration of the power of hell in our mouths. And even with a new heart from Jesus, it's an ongoing battle to tame it. Some things might change very quickly for you. I remember hearing the evangelist Rico Tice saying that when he became a Christian in his teenage years, one of the first things that happened to him instantly and overnight was that he stopped using the name of God in vain. He stopped blaspheming. He couldn't name the name of Jesus as a swear word anymore. It was just impossible. But then there are lots of other things, lots of other disciplines of speech that might take a lot longer. That's why we need to pray every day that Jesus would help us tame our tongues and manage our mouths. I've been a Christian more than 20 years, and it's still worth me praying every day. You see, the proof that you're Christian and walking right with God isn't that you ask for and receive supernatural words, you know, the gift of tongues or word of knowledge or wisdom or prophecy. No, the proof is that you ask for and you receive control over the words you speak naturally every day, and the words you choose to speak naturally every day. In my experience, that's a far harder thing to keep remembering to ask Jesus for. Everyday control over my tongue. So let me recap and then conclude first. Why must we manage our mouths? Because it's a serious matter of judgment before God. Because our mouths are like that horse's bit or that ship's rudder, controlling all the power of our person. Because our words are like the smallest spark that can ignite the most devastating bushfire. Because my words reveal my heart. How do we manage our mouths? By getting a new heart from Jesus Christ, by getting our new heart to manage our mouths, by practicing that management every day, and by praying to the Lord every day for His help. Well, how have you gone under these words from my mouth, from God's word, this morning? We thought what we might do at the end of this sermon is offer a time of silent reflection. So I'm going to invite each of us just to adopt a posture of prayer, perhaps, and close your eyes while I conclude for us. Just use this time for a bit of serious self-reflection in your own life, in this particular area. Some of us may feel rebuked this morning because we know we haven't managed our mouths well. Our words may have hurt people even in the last week. Or maybe we know that our words have hurt someone in our family or in our workplace years ago, but that guilt still lingers with us. We've been too quick to speak. We've said something rashly, unwisely. Well, that's you. The good news is that with Jesus, you can make a fresh start today from this moment on. You can say to Jesus right now, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Give me that new heart so that I can manage my mouth and stop hurting people and destroying myself." Some of us may feel encouraged this morning. Yes, I've been hurt by mismanaged mouths. Yes, I'm tempted all the time to mismanage my mouth. But yes, I know the power of getting words right and the warmth and wisdom and light and life that words can bring. God's word is true and right. Praise the Lord. Well, if that's you, then please be encouraged this morning to keep practicing the use of your new heart from Jesus. Please keep growing in gracious and wise speech. Please help others to do the same in the body of Christ. Please keep speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual words of wisdom from God for our mutual encouragement and growth as the body here. Well, I think there was something in today's message for every one of us. There certainly was for me. Such a universal issue. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, create in us clean hearts, O Lord our God, and renew a right spirit within us. Give us that heart transplant and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Come into our lives and rule over us and our mouths. Lord, I commit myself to you, maybe for the first time ever, or as a serious recommitment this morning, and I say to you, please take control of my life, my heart and my mouth. I'm sorry for the evil words that I've spoken, words that have hurt and harmed others. Please, Lord, forgive me. Please put a guard on my mouth and help me to think before I speak. Please help me to read your Bible and practice what I read there about speech. Please help me to pray to you, Lord Jesus, and ask for help every day. Please help me to help and encourage others in this also. Please help me to be slow to speak and patient and kind. Please stop me from exaggerating, fudging the facts, gossiping, slandering others, lying. Please help me only to speak the truth in love. Please give me your words, words of warmth and wisdom, words of light and life, fresh living streams of water to eternal life. Please help my mouth to prove what a glorious work you've done in my heart. Lord God, we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.